Hare Krishna, I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Saturday, 29 September 2012. So let us first start with the invocation prayers. So please repeat with me. Just read with me. Okay. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Svapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. So in the first two classes we were trying to understand why we need to study Bhagavad Gita. The difference between a human being and and animals. And then last week we saw three different ways, three pramanas of acquiring knowledge. Pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana and shabda pramana. Direct perception, inference and hearing from authority. So these were the processes we discussed, and then we also discussed the two systems, ascending and descending. And after seeing some problems in some of the processes, we concluded that it is better to follow Shabda Pramana. And we also understood how Bhagavad Gita is a Paurusheya, not compiled by a human being. And that is why every single word that is there is perfect. And there has been no change. People have written commentaries, but there is no change. It is said that Bhagavad Gita is an experience also. That Bhagavad Gita is just like a manual, you know. See, we got this human body which is like a machine, and every machine has a manual. So Bhagavad Gita is our manual. What does the manual say? It says that it should, how do you operate the machine, what are the safety things, how children should not be allowed, etc., right? Which one, what button is where, how to troubleshoot. When there's a problem, how do you troubleshoot? And then customer service, contact. So same way, Bhagavad Gita is our manual, you know. It just tells us how to lead your life, how to be a good person, how to interact with others, how to behave, what is the etiquette, everything, everything that is required for us to live happily, not now, but even in the next life. How to go back to our original place. All that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. So today, you know, the Bhagavad Gita is a very special subject. It's the essence of all the Vedic literature. So like when we join any course, there are some requirements, right? Some basic requirements. So same way, when we try to understand Bhagavad Gita, there are some basic requirements, you know. Because what happens, you can take the book and read, but we may not get the full meaning. We may not understand why Krishna is speaking like that or why Arjuna is asking that question. So there are some basic requirements. And if you follow those requirements, then it becomes easy for us to understand, you know. Very easy. It's not some rocket science. Of course, it is much more higher than a rocket science. But if you try to understand it simply by following the instructions of Krishna and try to understand it through a proper source, then things will be better for us. So what we are going to do today is, in short, I am going to discuss about the basic requirements to understand Bhagavad Gita. You know, to understand Bhagavad Gita, first of all, that we have established that yes, we need it. Okay, before that, let me tell you something, why we need it. Let us take the case of Arjuna. Arjuna was in the middle of the battlefield and he gave up. He declared that I cannot fight. I don't want to fight. So what was his situation? If you see, physically speaking or physically and mentally speaking, his situation was, he was in a very hopeless condition. You know, he was demoralized, demotivated, full of confusion, delusion, illusion, did not know what is right, what is wrong, fearful of the sins he may acquire, despondent. So these are some of the things which Arjuna was at that particular time, you know. His body was trembling. He was saying, my skin is burning, eyes are burning. He is one of the most powerful warriors, but his hand was shaking. He could not hold his Gandiva bow. So he was in that situation. And when Krishna talked to him for about 1 hour or so, the same Arjuna became enthusiastic, you know, ready to fight, totally motivated, confident, obedient, wanting to carry Krishna's order. And so the whole transformation from one end to the other end, you know. We saw the earlier stage and then what is. So this is exactly how Bhagavad Gita is going to help us, you know. Because we do face these problems. We'll come to that. So now, as I said, we'll try to understand the basic requirements for understanding Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So today I'm going to spend some time on this, you know. Okay, basic requirements. So let's start. The first question that should come in our mind, you know, because we are spending so much time on this, whether Bhagavad Gita is real or it's symbolic or it's somebody's opinion, you know. Krishna is giving his opinion to Arjuna because he says in Bhagavad Gita, in my opinion. So is it just an opinion or is it real? It is fact. So this is the first thing we must understand, you know, then only we can move forward. So we must know that Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna about 5,200 years back. It's a historical fact, recorded historical fact. It's not some imagination. It's not that nothing happened. As some people say, there is no Krishna, there is no Arjuna. Krishna is one mind of a person and Arjuna is other mind of a person, and this one mind is asking the other mind, the other mind is talking. So something like people talk like that. No, it's a fact. The very first sentence, first shloka, it says dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Dharma kshetra, a place of religion, place of righteousness. Kurukshetra, we know Kurukshetra where it is. Little north of Delhi, in Haryana, there is Kurukshetra. And if you go there, you will find many, many evidences of this war having taken place there. So, it was spoken during Mahabharat war, so it is not fiction, it is not symbolic, it is real. That is the first thing we have to, that means, whatever we are going to hear when it says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, that means Lord Krishna is speaking. The Supreme Lord is speaking. That's why it is a Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Then it's a Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya is the person who is seeing the whole thing. He has been given a special eyes, Divya Chakshu, to witness the whole thing. And he is giving a ball by ball commentary to Duryodhan, to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra is a blind person, he is a king, blind king, father of all the Kauravas. So he wants to see. So see how the whole arrangement is done. He is seeing and is narrating it to Dhritarashtra. And he has been given the special, you know, like when we see a cricket match, there are some special mics put into the stumps and so on, so you can hear so many things. So same way, he's got this remote control in his hand, you know, you can just see. Such an advanced technology, you know. No TV screen required, no satellites and something like that, you know. Just he gets the power by the will of the Lord. Okay. So, he's narrating it, and Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled the whole thing, he is re-narrating it. And Lord Ganesha agrees to be the stenographer, you know, and he writes, you know, Vyasadeva is telling and Lord Ganesha is writing, and like this whole fact has been compiled into a book. It's just the dialogue, Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, as we say. Okay, so this is the first requirement. If any one of you still think that it is symbolic, it is just, you know, something Hindu or, you know, India or this and that, you know, just think again, and if you want to continue in this journey, you'll have to take this into your stride, you know, you have to understand that this is real, we are talking real stuff. Okay, so as we go on, I'm going to put these kind of things before you, so then you have a choice. you can continue, or if you don't agree, you can discontinue, because it's rather not attend something where you don't get the knowledge, you know. In other words, if you are having so much opposition to whatever is being said, then let's not go ahead. This is just my humble request. I have no problem, you know, I'm here to preach to everybody. But if in case you have any problem, you can take that step. Okay? Now, let's go to the next point. How do you understand Bhagavad Gita? How do you understand? So again, for understanding anything, there are so many ways of doing it, right? Can I request not to put your cameras on at this time, you know? It's disturbing. At the end of the class, maybe, you know, you can put your camera on and we can hear you, okay? So, how do we understand Bhagavad Gita? What is the requirement? So, the best way is, you know, any book for that matter. The best way is to understand as it is, as what the author has said. If you understand like that, then it becomes very easy. Because that means we are on the same wavelength as it is. Why this is said? Because sometimes, as I said, somebody said, there is no Krishna, there is no Arjuna. Like that, they have so many different theories people talk of. And then they put their own thing. Krishna might have said something, but they will put their own thinking into it, you know. Or sometimes they will say, understand between the lines, you know, read between the lines. Yeah, that's good. To understand better, we do that. But first we have to read the lines. If we read only between the lines and not the lines, then there is a problem. So that's why it is very important that we understand it as it is. So most of the time we are going to follow the teachings of Swami Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He is the one who wrote, there are many, many, many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. There is no change. The Bhagavad Gita text is same in all those commentaries. I told you last time, it has not been changed, cannot be changed. So he wrote it as it is. His commentary is called as it is, as Krishna told Arjuna. And how do we say that? Because he got the whole message through a system of Guru Shishya Parampara, disciplic succession, you know. The Guru tells the disciple, disciple tells his disciple, like that. So it has, the knowledge has come down from Krishna, who is the original speaker, through this chain to us. So it is better, you know. It is better not to speculate too much. It is good to ask questions. It is good to try to understand. But to keep on challenging every statement is not going to take us anywhere. Then we cannot, we stop the flow of knowledge, you know. It's like a river is flowing and you put a dam. So what happens? Water doesn't flow to the other side. Okay? So this is another requirement of understanding Bhagavad Gita. If we do that, we will be enjoying it more. We will be trying to understand it better. But as I said, questions have to be there. Doubts have to be there. We are not saying that, okay, what I say is the thing. No. Throughout the thing, we are going to give you an option. This is an option. This is a choice. You want to understand like this? Understand like this. You want to understand on your own? Your full freedom. Okay? Next. We should understand that who is the speaker? Krishna. Krishna is the speaker. You know, he is called Bhagavan Uvacha. Uvacha means speak. Krishna the speaker. He is the one who gives the whole knowledge. And we should also understand that he is the goal also. What is the goal? To achieve Krishna. To achieve moksha. To achieve. See, when we say moksha, Brahma Jyoti, this, that, this, all connected with Krishna. Ultimately, we have to understand who is Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says himself that the whole purpose of learning Vedas, or this is part of Vedas, the whole purpose of learning Vedas is to understand who is Krishna. He should be the goal. Why? That we will reveal slowly. You know, this is just, as I am saying, as I am requesting that you first take that, okay? We accept that. When we say goal, means we accept that he is Bhagavan. See, as I told you, when Arjuna speaks, it's Arjuna Uvacha, Sanjaya Uvacha. But when Krishna speaks, it is Bhagavan Uvacha. He is Bhagavan. We are going to discuss who is Bhagavan, how do you find Bhagavan in some next classes, you know. Right now, this is just a small request that accept that first. And then you have doubts, you are going to address them, okay? Okay, next. Is Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,200 years back, so is it relevant today? See, does it fit in our system? We are modern now. We are using all iPads, iPhones, smartphones, this, that, gadgets, you know, tablets. We used to eat tablets, now we are using tablets for different things, right? So, in all this scenario, is Bhagavad Gita relevant? Is it going to help us? Is it modern? This is the question we should ask, right? And that is the requirement again. Yes. The answer to all the questions is yes, 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 yes. Bhagavad Gita has all the answers to all our questions. That is why it is so great. When I say that, don't expect that it is going to give you the formula, which button to press and all that. No. The basic things are all there. In 1 hour, nobody can teach anybody everything. Okay. So, if you think that it is not relevant, that let's not waste our time on that. You know, why do we want to waste our time on something which is not relevant? So, Bhagavad Gita is relevant, and that's what we have to understand. Okay. Next. Is it a science, or it is some mythology, it is some fiction? So Bhagavad Gita, we must understand that Bhagavad Gita is a science. It's a science of our whole being. Scientifically, the soul has been explained in Bhagavad Gita. The size, the shape, the qualities, and so on, you know. The whole process, the various modes have been explained properly. How we get the food grains which are required for our subsistence. Okay. So everything in Bhagavad Gita is scientific, is precise, it's scientific, is relevant. Okay. So please remember that. Don't consider it as some hearsay. Somebody says the whole Bhagavad Gita was written because Krishna wanted some jewel. Shamantaka jewel. The whole Mahabharata, whole everything is only for that. The whole war was for only that one jewel. If we have that kind of thinking, then what knowledge can we get? Okay. So remember that it's a science. Okay. I mean, I'm just giving you the glimpse. As we go, we'll go into the depth of that. Where was Bhagavad Gita spoken? It was not spoken on some conference room, air-conditioned, 5-star hotel, you know, with a big screen and theater type of seating and all that. It was spoken in the middle of a battlefield. The two armies, the world's two greatest armies, are on the two ends and right in the middle. And you can imagine, for that 1 hour or so, everybody is on the both sides, is trying to keep silence. They are trying to hear what's going on there. So rapt attention, because Bhagavan is speaking. Okay. So this is again why we are talking like this about this. So what is the big idea about battlefield? The idea is that all the knowledge was given on the practical side. You know, battle is a practical, right? Battle is not imaginary. War is not imaginary. It takes place where some action takes place, that decisions have to be made, and so on, you know. And ultimately a goal has to be achieved. This is exactly our situation in our life today. All that we do every day from morning, the morning we get up, the battle starts. Battle with our mind, battle with the situation, battle with the atmosphere, battle with our working conditions, battle with our studies, right? So every single step we are fighting some war or the other. Need not be a war with the weapons, but so many wars. And that is why whatever spoken in Bhagavad Gita is important for us, because we can apply that and get a solution. You know, in other words, it's all about troubleshooting. First it says do's and don'ts, and then it talks about troubleshooting. If this happens, then what? Like Arjuna asks those questions as we go along. So we must understand that, to understand Bhagavad Gita, we must accept that we are in a warlike situation. There are very, very few people who can proclaim that they are peaceful totally. Right from the world's richest man to the poorest man, everybody is struggling. Okay. Different kinds of struggles. Somebody struggling for money, somebody struggling for health, somebody struggling for prestige, somebody struggling to control, I mean, so many struggles. Our former president of India, Abdul Kalam, he writes one place, Gandhiji, he writes, all these great personalities who have read Bhagavad Gita, they say that whenever we are in trouble, whenever we are in doubt, whenever we are in confusion, we turn to Bhagavad Gita to get an answer. So I would say we are all very fortunate to getting opportunity to understand this great scripture. Next. This is just, I have given a picture of a person. His face shows that he is a devotional person, and very peaceful, and you know, he's just praying to the Lord. Because this is how we have to understand Bhagavad Gita, by bhakti only, not by speculation. You know, even Krishna told Arjuna, I am telling you this knowledge, this very secretive knowledge, Guda Rahasyam. Why? Because you are my friend and you are my devotee. Sakha and Bhakta. So with that mood, we can understand. As I said, if we are in an argumentative mood, we deny the existence of God, we deny everything around us, and we think that we are the only ones who know everything, then we are blocking. We are blocking the words of Gita to go into our heart. And why we are doing all this exercise? Because all of us want to become better, right? We want to become a better person. We want to become more productive, more efficient, more effective in our life. And in all those aspects, Bhagavad Gita is going to help us. But, as I said, you have to do it in a very humble mood. To understand Krishna totally, you have to understand him by bhakti, by jnana and karma and other things. We can know some of it, but to actually know him and practice it, you know, that's the most important. How do we practice? So that is why we say that it has to be understood by bhakti only. You may use another process. Process is not a problem, but there's a The ultimate is bhakti. Okay. I know you will have some questions on that, but I'm okay. I'm going to try to answer that. And finally, this is a science we understood. This is a scripture we understood. This is very special we understood. And we need bhakti, we need full attention, we have to accept Krishna as God. All that is there. So, as I said, we'll have questions in mind. And for that, we need the help of a spiritual master, a guru. Learn with the help of a guru. That way it becomes easier for us, you know, because on our own, we can go some distance. Even Krishna, in the same Bhagavad Gita, gives the process in the fourth chapter. He says, accept a bona fide spiritual master, serve him and inquire from him humbly, because he can show you the truth. Why? Because he has seen it. The process is there within Bhagavad Gita itself. So the guru, when we say, I say guru, it can be a guru. Gurus are of various types, various, you know, categories. So you don't think that when we say guru, you have to be a initiated diksha shishya of somebody. No. There is a shiksha guru, there is a diksha guru, there is a chaitya guru, so many. But the principle is same. He is a teacher and you are the student, you know. So through him, if you learn, then it becomes much easier. Because there is some help available, you know. Anything, like why do we need a guide for anything? Yes, because the help is there. Even when we buy the machine, we can start operating on our own. But if you use the guide, then it becomes easier. That's why they send you a big fat book. You buy a car, you buy anything. So this is the basic requirement of Bhagavad Gita. If you follow these requirements, then as I said, our life can be much easier. So I think my time is up. I would like to stop here. If you have any questions, then I can take only one or two questions, because I have run over time. I was waiting for all of you. I don't know what happened today. Many of you did not join on time. So many problems, yes. Not audible, I don't know what's going on. So now in the chat box you can tell me who are able to hear, who are not able to hear, then we can sort out. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.